CJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Hello, 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 and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM, campus community radio station here at SFU in Burnaby, BC, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. My name is Nicole, and I'm here back for Beats and Eats. It used to be open mic, and now I am officially here with my own show. Super, super excited. What would we call this? I think maybe like week two or three or so, I would say. So yeah, I am super excited because I've got a little bit of an interview going on today, and we're going to talk about some food and recipes, and I'm going to play some beats. But the first thing that I am going to do is start off with music, because I found some dope beats that I am really looking forward to playing for you. We are going to start off with, let's see, first track is going to be a song called Capri, and that track is by a artist called Low End is what I, it looks like it's going to be Low End because it has a little bit of a French pronunciation or spelling, sorry. So Capri is going to be this track that's going to start off the set. And then after that, we are going to have Envy by Noah Williamson and Jules. And then after that, the track is going to be Jealous by K-Rec. And then K-Tanada, always giving us the beats, is going to round up that set with Space Invader before our interview. So let's get into some music.
Thank you. men. How much can I pay? Streets keep crying. We'll be right back.
trying to get away.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is a place to be. Featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee, Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
Hello, hello, hello. I am back with Beats and Eats, and I hope you enjoyed the first set. Again, we started off with the song Capri by Low End, spelt with a little French there. I love the spelling. Next after that was the track Envy by Noah Williamson and Jules. After that was Jealous by K-Rec, and then rounding up that set was Spaced Invader by K-Tanada. So again, I want to thank you for joining me for Beats and Eats. This is where I chat about food. I share interviews and stories about food security as well as events. And of course, I play some dope beats that I discovered throughout the week. So I'm really excited about an interview that I'm about to share. I pre-recorded it earlier today with Aiden Silzer Hooker, who's the founder of Front Yard Farms. So I don't want to get into too much of it because we do kind of delve into it in our interview. So here goes. To CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus and community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. My name is Nicole Hines, and I'm excited to introduce my first guest for Beats and Eats. Today, I'm chatting with Aiden
Silzer Hooker, founder of Front Yard Farms. Front Yard Farms is a Vancouver-based edible landscaping business that transforms your yard into a food oasis. And you know I talk about food on this show, so I'm really, really excited to get into a conversation. They convert any unused space into an organic food garden at commercial buildings, residential homes, strata complexes, rooftops, or even boulevards. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Aiden. How are you?
Of course. Thank you so much for that amazing introduction. And it's awesome to be here. I'm looking forward to kind of getting to share about Front Yard Farms and my experience and how we all got going and kind of where we're headed next. So, yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. And let's just segue into that first question here is, can you share a bit more about Front Yard Farms, right, to the listeners? Yeah. Like they, you know, I want them to know all about what you guys do.
Yeah, so we've been going on for about 5 years now, and the inspiration actually came from my time studying at Kwantlen Polytechnic University, where I was studying horticulture. But I got on to urban farming through a couple of really cool courses. One was organic crop production, and then another one was urban agriculture. Mm-hmm. And that kind of led me down a path of wanting to figure out how to make cities more sustainable, and figure out how to bring food back into cities, right? So that was kind of the beginning, right, of Front Yard Farms. But what we do now and over the last 5 years is we really assist people in any way possible with how to grow food. And so it doesn't have to just be a small space in a yard. It can also be a larger commercial building. It can be anywhere, right? It can be a community garden, right? We're more of, when it comes down to it, educators. Mm-hmm. And we kind of fit into any slot that people need us to. I have a background in landscaping as well. And so a lot of our installs are raised garden beds. Mm-hmm. They have patios and pergolas. So they're actually not only just edible, but they're also gorgeous, right? They look good, right? They're functional spaces. And that's what we've seen is people wanting to have a yard that they can go and enjoy, and it's pollinator friendly. And it's gorgeous to their visuals, right? But then also they can get food from it, right? It's a pretty good trade-off. So that's basically what Front Yard Farms does.
Yes.
I'll explain more, but I'll move on. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do have a question though. Because I didn't do enough research, I have to be honest, when it comes to what you can grow on your front yard, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So are edibles allowed, like actual, like, things that you can eat? Is it only like on the herb end? You know, how does that work?
Yeah. So you're actually, this is kind of why I started Front Yard Farms, was I was kind of asking these questions when I was finishing up, because my major in university was urban ecosystems. And so it's obviously very centered around how an urban ecosystem works and functions.
Right.
And I figured out that you can grow food in your yard and you can grow anything you want, you know, barring it being actually illegal, personally,
in certain cases or certain
amounts.
Yeah.
You can grow anything, right? So you can grow, you know, brassicas, so cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts, or you can grow tomatoes, you can grow anything. Okay. And in our installs, that's what we kind of we have that biodiversity, right? So we're planting native edible plants, right? We're planting, fruit trees, berry shrubs, all that kind of stuff, right? All the way down to annuals.
Okay.
And the city of Vancouver, actually, and Metro Vancouver, more so, they want people to be growing food, right? So they actually, they're okay if you use the boulevard to grow food, or certain areas that are being unused in your neighborhood, right? Corners where you just have grass, or, you know, just a fire hydrant set up there. Right. You are actually allowed to grow there. It's just more about management.
Okay.
Just like in your own yard, right? The city is a little bit more strict with, you can't just have a boulevard garden that's, you know, 6 feet high and,
right,
not being taken care of. Like, you have to water it and take care of it yourself. But you can grow anything you want. And that's kind of a very cool thing that I learned all those years ago, is I just wondered why more people aren't growing, especially in this climate, where you can grow year round, and why we aren't growing more food here. So to answer your question, we can grow whatever we want here, other than illegal substances.
And okay, so you kind of talked about how Front Yard Farms got started, but why do you feel that there is a need for the work that you do? And we'll get into the services and stuff like that next. But why do you, I mean, I know why for me personally, but I'm curious as someone who's a founder, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing is as all businesses do, they kind of morph as we go. And I was working in the landscape industry when I started this, and I just kind of was like, we should just grow more food. That's just a simple thing. And then leaning back on my studies, I remembered food insecurity and food sovereignty and all these kinds of, you know, big words that I'm like, what does that actually mean? Like, what are we, like, where can it be applied?
Yes.
And so I've been kind of trying to, walk two lines where one, Front Yard Farms is more of a landscape and gardening company that does food gardens. But also I'm like, how can I use my growing skills to get more involved with people that don't know how to grow and don't have access necessarily to the kind of really nice produce, right? Like, not everybody owns properties. It's expensive here, right? So that's kind of what I'm working towards now is for one, helping people set up their yard in a way where they're donating a lot of it. So I have a couple clients over the years have big properties. One of them was actually out in White Rock.
Okay.
And they were just giving away to their neighbors, to food banks. Right. Yeah. So like they were a little farm at that point. Right. Yeah. And so that's kind of the idea of taking kind of up like a private plot is hoping that and knowing that with our skills, we can set these people up so they will have more and they can and then they have to go, well, we have all these, you know, boxes of food that we have to take somewhere. So that's kind of where on that side of it. Right. Where we're getting back to that way. Yeah. But then I'm also always looking for and actually had a small community supported agriculture program going.
Okay.
Where, so I had a farmer come to me and just say, love what you're doing in the urban farming, but I have a plot of land, like just a small little plot. And it was actually in Maple Ridge. Mm-hmm. And you can grow on it if you want. And so I used it just in more of like a volunteer basis where I just put money in from Front Yard Farms to like set it up. And I just gave everything away because I was like, that's kind of what I would want to do is figure out ways to, have more people approaching me and saying, I have a chunk of land here or a rooftop there or a backyard garden here. And I would love to grow it for donations or that kind of stuff. Yes. Right. So really getting more involved with food security specifically. There's other programs in Vancouver. The Food Stash Foundation is really good. They do like a food rescue. So that's also a huge one. And then the Harvest Project in North Vancouver, where they're always looking for partners to help the people that come to them for help, right? And so that's what I'm trying to do is those two lanes where whenever we're doing a landscaping install, we're going to do it in a way where it can produce as much as possible.
Okay, and it looks like our interview stopped there shortly. We are going to get it back in a moment. We'll probably play the remaining half of this interview a little later on in the show. But just letting you know, so far we have been chatting with Aiden. He is the founder of Front Yard Farms. At the moment where the interview just stopped right there, he was just talking a little bit about some of the initiatives that he would like to do with his business. And then in the latter part of the interview, we do talk about the services and sort of the future of Front Yard Farms. In the interim, I am going to talk about a recipe because one of the great things about my conversation with Aiden is that Aiden would like to come back on Beets and Eats to talk about growing and how it relates to some of the recipes that I will be sharing on this show. And of course, I've got a lot of music lined up as well. So the recipe that I'm going to be talking about today is it's like the cousin of the recipe that I chatted about last week. And last week I talked about the Jamaican jerk marinade, and it is a great, it's something amazing to use when you want to make jerk chicken or jerk pork, or I've made like jerk turkey wings with it, jerk beef, jerk shrimp, all of the things. And it gives you a really great gravy is what I found. It's much easier to build a gravy using the marinade rather than the dry rub. However, there is a bonus to working with the dry rub as well. A dry rub can be used to create a really flavorful and a spicy, crispy crust when you are utilizing it with meat. So it helps to seal in the juices and actually still keep the meat quite moist. So I like to use it actually as a base when making Jamaican jerk chicken, and I combine it with the Jamaican jerk marinade to give it more of a bold flavor. So I will kind of, you know, Jamaicans will say, we'll season the meat, and pretty much you're putting on the dry rub and kind of coating the meat that you're going to be working with. And then I will add usually about 2 to 3 tablespoons of the marinade and then coat the meat again. And then I will like put it in a bowl, like put it, cover it up, put it in the fridge. And if I can do it overnight and have that marinating for at least, you know, 12 hours, if not longer, that is the greatest. If you can't, it's still going to be quite tasty. But if you can get it to marinate quite long, it's pretty, pretty exciting. Here is the recipe. Super, super easy. Basically, you're going to be working with dried seasonings. So you can use, I like to use equal parts of most of it, except for the salt and pepper. So if you are starting off with a small batch, I'd probably do like a tablespoon per item that I'm going to be reading out right now. So we've got onion powder, and I had to write it down because, you know, I can't remember all the things. So first off, I like to add onion powder to my dry rub, garlic powder, cane sugar. For those who are okay with sugars, I do like to add that. You can also use brown sugar if you'd like. And then you could also omit the sugar if you don't want to have any sugar in it. I like to add dried thyme, dried crushed red chili pepper flakes, nutmeg, cinnamon, dried sage, and then of course like the salt and pepper. I tend to like to do like about like a teaspoon of each. And then the star of the show, allspice. So out of all of the spices that I listed, allspice happens to be the most important. It is the dominant signature flavor that distinguishes jerk from like other barbecue type methods. Allspice is a single berry that gives you a really aromatic blend that reminds you of like the flavors of cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. It's kind of like a combination of the three type of thing. So having allspice is super, super important to this dry rub. And I'm going to tell you where you can find it. Last week, I mentioned that Scotch bonnet pepper is one of the ingredients for the marinade recipe. And the fact that it isn't that easy to find it in the city, there is a Caribbean grocer on 12th Ave in New Westminster that they tend to have it. Sometimes you'll find it in a grocery store, but in many cases,